Hello, and welcome to On a Tangent, the podcast where the main characters are the stories behind the mathematics. My name is Simone, and in each episode, I meet a different early career researcher from Münster to learn about their paths towards mathematics and their hopes for the future. In this episode, I interview Marjorie, a young African fellow at the Cluster of Excellence, to learn about how one goes from statistics to group theory and about how to find deep structure in groups. I hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, so hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So, on this podcast, we sort of try to understand the stories of the people who are in the cluster, the mathematicians of the cluster. So I would like to ask you, what is your earliest memory of mathematics? What is the first time that you've seen mathematics in your life?
Well, I would say my memory of mathematics starts way back from high school, primary actually. Yeah, so I've always been interested in mathematics as a subject since high school. And I think growing up, I had very good mathematics teachers. They kind of motivated my interest in mathematics. And I would say, well, while I was in high school, you know, we would have these career days where they would ask you, what do you want to do in your future? I actually had no idea that someone can pursue mathematics as a career. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, you don't see, I mean, people don't see many mathematicians in life, right?
So I didn't know if, so all I wanted to find out is what career has mathematics in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was told that, oh, you can do some engineering, it has mathematics and sciences. So always I would say I want to be an engineer. Not really that I want to be an engineer, but because I wanted to do the mathematics that would be there.
I want to do, yeah.
Yeah. So, when I was done with my high school, I applied for my bachelor's studies at the Copper Belt University in Zambia. Yeah, so I mostly the arrangement of the universities there is that the first year is like a general year. You study like, if you want sciences, we study like natural sciences, yeah. So you study natural sciences in the first year, and then second year you major into which kind of science you want to do, or if you want to do engineering. So I applied for natural sciences because I wanted to do engineering. Yeah, so while I was in my first years, I did a research on what kind of programs are offered. So, and then I found mathematics is one of the options, and I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting.
I can actually do the thing I want to do and not.
Okay, oh, I was like, oh, there's actually mathematics as a field, as a career, and someone can pursue it as a career. So I had to do a background research on mathematics also, like, what is there? Like, okay, I want this, what do I do afterwards if I'm done with this program? I want to do mathematics so bad, but at the end of the day, I also need to make something out of it.
Yes, yeah. That's what my parents always told me. They were like, okay, I mean, you want to do mathematics, okay, what are the jobs afterwards,
yeah.
Right? Because it's like, because you know, nice, the passion is nice, but at the end of the day, you still have to eat.
You still have to eat, and being the first born in my family, I kind of have to like be an example to my siblings, and you know, I was supposed to do something that is worthwhile. So I did a background research on mathematics. Actually, I asked a number of people who know like what people are doing who graduated from that program. Yeah, and I talked to one person, and he really like told me something that really like motivated my interest. And what he told me was that actually when you do your mathematics study in your bachelor's, there is this nice program where they sponsor you to do your master's in different parts of Africa. So there are 5 centers in Africa. It's called the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences. Yeah, so the center in South Africa, Cameroon, Rwanda, and also Senegal. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And the person who actually studied from one of these centers is actually doing fine, I was told. So I entered into the second year and specialized in mathematics with a mind that at the end of it, I must get, like, for you to get into this program, you need to get, like, top-level results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was motivated. I must do well in my mathematics bachelor's degree so that I qualify for this program, because it was like a full scholarship where they pay for everything, for your transportation and everything. So yeah, as I was doing my bachelor's degree, I think my background was deepened. Like in high school, just like, okay, it's math. But in my bachelor's, I kind of started seeing it as something real. Yeah. So we had a mixture of applied courses and pure courses.
So a very general sort of overview.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, and then in your research, you kind of specialize into something particular, yeah. So actually, I liked statistics as an applied course, and I also liked algebra. So it was like, you like the applied part and the pure part. Now, which one are you going to go for?
Yeah, so it's difficult because I think most people, at least, so when I where I did my bachelor's, you have to choose a theoretical or applied curriculum from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So you have to choose them, which is insane because I don't know anything. I mean, I started the bachelor's and I barely know what the mathematics is. When I started my bachelor, I wanted to do physics, but then my professor of physics in school said, "You don't have like a physical mind, like don't." because she saw me do the experiments and she was like, stay away from the machinery, like stay away from anything that you have to do like with your hands. You can do maths and then maybe do the computational part of physics. So I went into maths to do that.
Oh wow.
And but then when I had to choose, I was like, okay, what curriculum do I choose? In the end, somehow I think I chose the theoretical one. But if you like both, it's very hard to choose. I mean, because they both need to specialize so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I mean, how did you choose which one of the two? I mean,
okay, so this is how the story goes. Actually, it did not go, I liked group theory. Yeah, I did linear algebra. Then in the other year, we did group theory and groups and rings, stuff like that. I liked it. And it was one of the challenging courses, I would say, among all the courses that were offered. But I actually liked how the theorems were being unraveling and everything. It just touched me in a certain kind of way. And at the same time, I still like statistics. And unfortunately, in my final year, I didn't have a chance, like a choice to pick what kind of research I should do. Yeah, they kind of just arrange the topics and give you a supervisor and stuff like that for easy because we were like a lot of people in our class. So I was actually given statistics as a project.
Aha, so yeah. Somebody chose for you.
Yeah, yeah. Not like I picked it, so it was an easy choice. I was somewhat, but deep down I knew what I really wanted was group theory. So
it's like, you know, when you have to choose between two things and you flip a coin and then depending on the result, whether you're happy or sad about the result, then you know which one you wanted to do.
Yeah,
really.
So
it's the same, no? I mean,
it's the same, yeah. So statistics and numerical analysis. So it's a project that combines statistics and numerical analysis. Yeah, it was interesting. It was good. But deep down, I knew that I needed to dig deep into group theory. So, but yeah, I graduated from my bachelor's. And when I completed my bachelor's, I applied for this master's scholarship in South Africa. And then as I was waiting for the acceptance, I was working as a tutor at a certain, because I also like teaching so much. Yeah, I like, it's that thing whereby I like mathematics and I want to teach people and tell them about how nice it is. And I want them to like it too. Like, there's just something about, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was tutoring. I tutored for like 5 months and then I received an email and I was so happy that I was picked to do my master's in South Africa, Cape Town. Yeah, so now when I went to AIIMS, it was great because now this is a place where you get to pick what you want on your own. And you, before you actually pick what you want to do research in, they kind of expose you to different topics and different fields in mathematics. So that's when I even did Mauldin theory.
Okay, I see. So you arrive and they show you different courses and then you can sort of specialize and choose what you want to do.
Yeah. So we were shown applied courses, machine learning courses, coding courses, pure courses. So I did a number of... we had like blocks. We had like blocks and they used to last for like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And in these blocks would take like 2 courses. But at the beginning, they would show you 3 courses and you pick 2 courses.
Okay.
So mostly I used to pick the pure ones because I knew that that's what I wanted. So, but I did like some financial mathematics and some coding here and there. But really, when I was doing, because in my head, I was like, at the end, I want to do a pure project, pure mathematics project. So I need to like learn a lot in the pure side. Yeah, so that's how I took quantum theory, logic. I took logic as well, model theory. And what was amazing about this experience is that we're a mixture of people from different parts of Africa. Yeah, like they would accept people. It's called the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences. So there are a lot of countries in Africa, and then people from different parts of Africa come to learn from this place. And another thing is that we are not taught by lecturers in South Africa only, but we were also taught by lecturers from all over the world. lectures,
okay.
Yeah, from Germany, from UK.
So you see a lot of different ways mathematics is done in different places, in different countries.
Yeah, we had like a good exposure. And then at the end, we get to pick what kind of research we want, and what you get to pick your own supervisor.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we had a course in algebra and group theory, and I liked the way, okay, our lecturer was very enthusiastic about the field, and I liked the way he would explain the concepts. And just from there, just when the day I took that course, I was like, this is what I want to do. I never had any doubt from that day, like, okay, now I know what I want.
It's very interesting because I feel like you mentioned already before that you had a very enthusiastic and motivating teacher already in high school. And
I feel
like often this is really what makes us choose, no? Because you have this teacher that you can relate to that is so enthusiastic. And then all of a sudden the subject is also the great... I mean, because of course people like all different things. But somehow when there's somebody who's really enthusiastic and really happy about what they're lecturing... Mm-hmm. Then this already gives you a boost, no?
Yeah. It really gave me a boost, yeah. Like, it gave me a boost. I think my lecturer in my bachelor's was not so enthusiastic in group theory. I kind of personally developed the interest in it. But what made me, like, be sure that this is what I really want to do, it was the lecturer in my master's. So he was very enthusiastic. He loved, like, those people who talk with, like, yeah, they love what they're doing. So,
yeah, the passion comes through, right?
Passion. So I was motivated, and I talked to him after the class. And then he was kind of doubting me because my bachelor's project was not in a pure field. I did statistics. So I kind of convinced him, and he agreed, yeah. So I started doing research with him, and it was very nice. I learned a lot. Doing a PR project for the first time was not easy.
Of course, right. I mean, because your background was somehow in the more...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the previous project was in statistics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what was the project about?
So I was the structure of groups that satisfy the convex to Lagrange's theorem. So Lagrange's theorem is one of the most important theorems in finite group theory. And the convex to this theorem is not true. But there are some groups that satisfy the convex to the theorem, so I was studying the structure of those groups. So generally, that's what my master's project was about.
And now that you're here as a fellow, what was your project about here?
So here in Mostar, I actually kind of switched the field a bit.
Okay.
My field. So I did. So I would like to mention that when I was doing my master's, I also loved graph theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we did a course in graph theory. So when I was doing a course in graph theory, I had already picked in my head that okay, I already had a topic in graph theory. So I was like, oh wow, this is very nice course. Graph theory, like you get to describe your mathematics in terms of a graph. Like you get to. I like visuals. I like drawing. So you get to draw the stuff, you explain, and it has like a deep meaning behind it. So I liked graphs. And then when I came here in Munster, my supervisor works in geometry, topology, and group theory. But specifically at the moment, he works in geometry group theory. And so I was like, why not switch? Why not go to geometry group theory?
So this mixes the two, things, right?
Yeah,
great,
yeah.
Because you have the groups, but you can also do the nice little pictures, right?
Yeah. So you have the groups, and you can also have, you can have all that you like in one. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. So actually, I kind of had some anxieties to say, I don't know geometry. I haven't done much geometry before, and now I'm doing it for the first time. But I was like, hey, there's also always space to learn.
Is this something that people... I think I'm very afraid of also, I remember when I was starting my PhD, they would say, okay, but I don't know enough, whatever, choose a topic, you know, I'm doing this, but I don't know enough that, and there's always this anxiety, but I think can always learn. I mean, maybe time becomes a problem at some point, but so far, it's, so people are always so happy to tell you about things that it's, there's always space to learn, yes.
There's always space, yeah. So I had to take like a course in geometric group theory so that I get to understand what really is, how does it get to combine with group theory that I know very well. So it's very interesting, actually. It's, okay, I was like, okay, this is what I was missing. This is the missing piece. So, yeah, so I like the fact that I actually now into geometric group theory because... And then when it came to deciding what kind of project I'm doing for my for Young African Mathematician project, I wanted something that has groups and graph in it. And we actually found a very good topic with my supervisor, which is titled On the Construction of Graph Products of Groups from Finite Groups. So I kind of did finite groups in my master's. And now I'm constructing graph products of groups from these finite groups. So graph products of groups, these are mostly in geometric group theory. Mm-hmm. So I have like a mixture of geometric group theory and group theory on its own. So it's great. Yeah, I mean...
The puzzle is somehow really coming together.
Yeah, the puzzle is complete.
It's quite nice, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And how would you explain the topic of your project to somebody, well, maybe who doesn't do mathematics or, you know, at a party or something? Well, you know, it's always tricky because people don't really ask what we do at parties. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I would actually say to someone who is not doing mathematics, how would I describe it? Okay. Since right now I'm working on graph products of groups, so I guess a graph is easy for someone to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get, for example, you have relations, you have family, you have friends, like you're connected to certain people and those people are connected to other people. So you as a person, you're connected to other people and the other people you're connected to are also connected to other people. So when you're constructing a graph, these people that you I'm describing are like vertices, mm-hmm. and the relations that you have are like edges. So the connection that people have, this is described in a graph.
Yes.
So when I'm doing graph products of groups, I more like talk about these graphs so that are connected to Kelly graphs. Kelly graphs are also an amazing part that mm-hmm. I've come to discover. So when I'm talking about Kelly graph of graph products of groups, the elements of these vertices get to commute. So if we have an edge between one vertex and the other, these vertices in themselves, they have what we call syllables. So syllables inside these vertices get to commute when there's a connection. So at a party, I would tell them about relationships and how you get connected. And this is how I get to connect graphs of graph products of groups. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that would be an easy way for someone to understand what I'm
saying. Yeah, graphs are somehow everywhere. I mean, there's so many examples that people can really imagine. That's you're right. It's a great topic because you can just visualize it.
You can just see
it. Yeah,
you can really visualize it. And also when it comes to Kelly graphs, you don't actually have to visualize the whole group. Like a Kelly graph is a graph that describes a group in terms of a graph. Yeah. So you don't actually get to like put all the elements out there on the graph, but you have a set called the generating set. So mm-hmm. in this group, it is always generated by a certain set. And a group can have different generating sets. So you can come up with different Kelly graphs for one particular group, depending on what kind of generating set that you pick. Yeah, so I think it's very interesting field. Yeah,
yeah, I always think, so for me, I'm always a bit scared of groups because I do things which have a lot of structure, like fields have at least two operations and then more, you put evaluation on it. And so I like things with a lot of structure. And groups have too little structure for me, so they're a bit scary because I know I don't understand how people can understand them. Because there's one operation, but one operation is not a lot.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right.
But then when Kelly graphs come in, I feel like at least I can see them.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's the point. Yeah, that's the thing. So yeah, groups on themselves, they don't have structure. I would say my master's project did not have any structure. I kind of forced one structure inside. But yeah, it wasn't like it was supposed to be there. So yeah, my it's all about what, like I'm writing a thesis, it needs to have some nice things inside, like pictures. So I would say groups on their own, they do not have so much structure, but when it comes to relating them to geometric objects, when groups get to act on geometric objects, now you have structures.
Yeah, yeah, that's reassuring, I would say.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a bit about your past, your present, so let's talk about the future.
Uh-huh.
So what is I always ask this to our guests, what is one big question, one big problem, one big phenomenon that you think would be very interesting to understand, or that you might want to see an answer to a question, not necessarily by yourself, by someone, you know, in the future?
Yeah, so actually this question is a very good question because I currently kind of discovered something that hasn't been solved for a long time and I would like to see how it gets to be solved. So it's actually connected to my current project. So my current project talks about graph products of groups. So there's this type of graph product of group called the Artin groups, the right-angled Artin groups. Yeah, so right-angled Artin groups in general, let me talk about them. They have like a non-uniform complicated structure. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's so hard for people to like do deep research in them when it comes to other areas. And then we also have right-angled atom groups, which are a class of atom groups. It's a simpler class because the structure gets to be simplified because of commutativity between elements. Yeah, so one type of this is also a graph product. But atom groups in general, so they have a diverse structure, and it's kind of hard for people to determine the quasi-isometries of these atom groups. Yeah, so this is one thing that I would like to see solved, because it's hard, because when you want to determine the quasi-isometry, it's like a map between atom groups, you need to know the large-scale geometric structure, which will also allow you to compare spaces. So these atom groups act on spaces and complexes. So it's really hard for people to determine the quasi-isometries because they do not have a deep understanding of the large-scale geometric structure of the atom groups. So I'd really like to see this being solved in the next, I don't know how many years.
At some point in it, yeah.
At some point. So I think it being solved will actually bring an impact, a large impact in the field of geometric group theory. And also, since atom groups combine algebraic properties and geometric properties, so I think one of the things that came to mind was that maybe one of the ways people can actually get to solve such a problem is by collaboration between mathematicians from different fields. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you bring up combinatorial group theory, geometric group theory, topology, and when you combine all these fields, I think there would be a way that they would be able to solve it. But I can't wait to see it being solved, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the very nice insights, and
okay.
See you around in the corridors.
All right, thank you.